to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture, and we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're from.
So my name is Devin. I'm originally from California, but I've been in Vegas for over 15 years. So it's been a long time out here.
I like it. You were part of that kind of second wave of Las Vegan transfers. I remember as a kid after the recession, that I remember in 2007, 2008, I remember we did a long stint here in Vegas. And obviously it was still tiny at the point, or like way tinier than it is now. And then there was another stint that was like way a little bit before the pandemic, right? Like 2015, 16. It was getting a little hotter, right? And then obviously COVID happened and the cat's out the bag, right? It's what it is today. So it's just so fun. Are you conscious of like seeing how much the place has grown just over the past 15 years? Or are you just kind of like asleep in your own little corner?
No, I definitely have noticed. And I actually was thinking about this the other day, because when I first moved out here, there was these one apartments I wanted so bad, and I just couldn't afford it at the time. And then the recession hit, and that same apartment, what was once $1,500, went for less than $700, and I was able to afford it, you know? So it's very bizarre seeing how much things have changed and, you know, grown, really. I mean, it's a great thing, but also, you know, it has its problems.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, the main thing is just like, the hell, why are the highways so like complicated now? There's all this construction, there's all these people on them. I remember being able to get from one side to the other, no issue. Now it's an ordeal. It's not quite Southern California, obviously. It's not that bad, but it's getting there. It's gonna, if we don't figure something out, it's definitely a little wild, right? But yeah, obviously we're gonna take a deeper dive into kind of your brands and your businesses, but just give the listener the quick kind of 30-second, like, I found you obviously through your page and the work that you do. So I'll have you explain that way I don't butcher it. And you're like, that's not what I don't do baking and dessert at all. Where'd you get that? Right. Go ahead and tell us about your clothes.
So I am the owner of Catch My Thrift. It is a vintage and thrifted boutique. I curate small batch collections of thrifted clothing. So the focus I have is really on quality. So natural fibers, elevated designer labels, and lots of true vintage clothing.
I love that. It's almost like you're doing all the work that I'm like, I'm not going to do that, but I definitely want to rock those clothes, but I don't want to go find them. I don't want to do the whole thing. So how'd you get into that? Like what made you sort of just kind of one day, did you just wake up one day, or is it something you knew you wanted to do for a long time?
So I really grew up in the thrift stores, and I don't, you know, I didn't look at a thrift store as poverty. I know that I kind of said that to you. That's where we went shopping. That's where we got our clothes. And I always really liked that it was kind of a treasure hunt. It was one of things, and I would find something and get so excited about it. But I remember my very first trip to a thrift store was with my grandma, and she was taking me and all of my cousins. And it felt almost like an introduction to something that she loved to do anyways. And taking us there, my sister and I were talking about this the other day about the things that we found that day. Like, she still remembers the sweater she got. I still remember the blazer I got. And it really introduced me into my style a little bit. At the time when we went on that trip, I was like a freshman or sophomore in high school. So I was just, you know, coming into my own, of my own style. And I got a blazer. What I wanted was a blazer, but I'm tiny. And so where I had to go to the little boy section to find a blazer that fit me, but I loved that thing so much. You know, shopping in a thrift store has always just kind of been, you know, my thing. And in more recent years, I just really wanted I didn't really see a place that I could go to go and thrift and find the things that I wanted right away. That didn't really exist. You know, I had to go and dig for it. And so the concept of curating something that people could go to and find the quality items that they're looking for very simply, it just kind of made sense. So
I love, hold on 1 second. I don't want us to not get off track. I have a little note that I'm writing. When you told your story about your grandma, I thought that you're gonna be like 5, 6, 7 years old. You gotta start that by saying, like, oh no, I was in high school. Just because, like, any story with your grandma, you're like a little kid, right? Is your grandma still around? Has she seen the store and stuff?
So unfortunately, she passed away a few years ago. And so unfortunately, I didn't get to show that to her. But I think about it all the time. Like I think about, she loved the thrift store. That was her thing, you know? And so I think about her a lot when I get to go. And I think that she would be pretty proud of what I'm doing.
That's good to hear. I know, like, I don't have my grandfather anymore as well. He died when I was a little kid, maybe 5 or 6 years old. But his brothers are still alive. A lot of his brothers are still alive, and they always kind of tell me, like, that is one of the best compliments. There's two elite compliments, like, hey, your grandparents would be proud of who you are today, just because, like, apparently I'm so similar in so many different ways because
Oh,
genetics and stuff, right? Like, that's a
right.
real thing. Like, I guess the way we move, the way we say things, which I didn't grow up with them. So it's like, how did I learn these things? They just, I guess, are inside of you, right? And
Oh.
the other best compliment, in my opinion, is like, you smell good. If someone tells you you smell good, that, like, you can end your day right there, right? Like, you could be at breakfast and someone's like, you smell good. I'm like, well, that's the day, basically. Like, it's peaked. It's not going to get better than this. What do you think?
Well, that's so true. And scent is the strongest sense tied to memory. So if someone remembers your scent, like it's gonna be something that sticks with them. Yeah. So I worked at Bath and Body Works for a long time, and smelling good has always been in my DNA. So I totally get what you mean when you say that.
I love Bath and Body Works. Shout out to Bath and Body Works, right? You got any, like, horror stories before we kind of get into the other stuff that I have planned, or is it a pretty positive experience? It can't be that
No, to be honest, so I really enjoyed my experience working there. I don't know that I have any horror stories. I what I will say about Bath & Body Works is they train their people so well, and you walk out of there, if you really take it serious, you can really learn some really incredible skills. I was a store manager for a long
good, right?
time, and so the things that they taught me there have absolutely translated into what I do now. So aside from, dealing with normal customer service stuff and candles breaking and all the, the whatevers. It was a great experience. I really like Bath and Body Works a lot.
I love that. And what I think I can relate with your love for clothes and kind of fashion and just especially the vintage style. I love cars, trucks, anything. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's not cars, it's boats, it's trains, it's motorcycles, it's anything with an engine because it represents freedom for me. Just, I think, similar to the way maybe you look at fashion, which is like, you get to create whatever it is that you want. Like, when I have something with an engine, I can go do whatever I want. I could be whatever I want, right? And when it specifically comes to vehicles, whenever I can sit in anything that is classic or vintage, it really is my form of a museum. Like, I love museums probably as much as the next guy, where it's like, oh, look, that painting's cool. This is cool. When I can get into, like, a 1968 Chevelle, right? Or a 96 Impala, or a what, 78 Bronco, those are three different humans that I am as I sit in those, right? Those are three different
Absolutely.
types of vibes. And I think it's so versatile with cars, just like fashion is, right? So did it, was I close there, or was I way off the mark?
No, 100%. Because I think, and I don't want to speak for you, but when I think of classic cars, because I also appreciate them as well. And I think just the craftsmanship that once was, and the it's very different than it is now. We focus more on pumping out, quantity over quality. And when I think of fashion, that's really what I look for. You notice how things were made, and they simply just didn't fall apart on you. And the same way that you look at these classic cars that have lasted for years and years and years, and they've maintained their beauty and their quality. You just I hate I know that it's such a cliche thing to say, but they just don't make things like they used to, and that's just the reality. That's just the way that it
Yeah.
is.
Yeah, it is real. And I guess craftsmanship now, if you're trying to buy something new that really is going to last, you have to search. You really do have to go through four or five options sometimes to really find, like, hey, this is a hardy piece of material. And I find that all the time just because I break shit a lot. Like, I'm just really a big, like, I need, even like, even with our dog, he is the wildest thing ever. We can't just go to Petco and buy him a toy because he's going to tear it up in like 10 seconds in the car ride home, right? So what do I have to do? I have to find a company, shout out to Ray Allen Manufacturing. They output all the military dogs, all our police dogs in the United States, and they make gear that is like, hey, when you buy this, it should last the 10, 15 years of your dog's life. You know what I mean? Like, this piece of whatever, his prong collar, some of his balls or whatever, like they've lasted for years. And I'm just like, you don't get that at Petco. You don't get that. No shade against Petco. I love Petco, but like, you know, just it's different, right? So that's kind of how you do your clothes.
I think probably one thing I've unlocked, excuse me, and you can apply it really to everything really now is, when it comes to quality, you do have to spend that time looking for those brands, and sometimes you get the sticker shock because you see something and it's worth every single penny, but we have become so accustomed to this instant gratification mindset. We have Amazon that within 24 hours, you can have whatever it is that you need delivered directly to your door. If you need a ride somewhere and your car doesn't work, you can have somebody come and pick you up wherever you're at. We have Postmates and, Instacart. Anything that you need can be delivered to you. And we have become accustomed to this mindset that we need it now. So the taking the time to look for the quality and pay a little bit more, it's a little bit difficult sometimes, I think, for some people. And so when it comes to the clothing, I really like to share my focus on the quality and the craftsmanship and how it is so important. Our skin is the largest organ in our entire body, and we care a lot about what we put inside of our bodies, but people don't necessarily care as much what they put on it anymore. And so some of my messages is just that, you can look beautiful and you can look amazing, but also, you can also know that what you're wearing is gonna last, and it's not gonna fall apart when you wash it.
Something that I think about a lot is I have a lot of friends and relatives too who are, oh, you get that for somewhere else. They're always looking for a deal, right? Don't trust me if I'm like doing something and it's on sale, there's a coupon. Hey, I love a good deal too, but like I'm not gonna be so like I don't buy anything unless there's a deal because when you're that cheap, I heard a quote like a long time ago that was like, hey, the man who is a slave to like a deal is like a slave to the quality of things, right? Like you're just never gonna be able to enjoy the premium products, the premium quality of life, right? Let's put luxury aside. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of luxury. That's not really what my interest is. But yeah, you can give me a 1995 Dodge Ram that is of the same quality that is, you know what I mean? The trucks these years, they fucking suck. They last 5 years, they break down, transmissions blow out. I don't know why I'm talking about cars, but just you can apply it to anything.
It's
The
so true,
kitchen.
though.
Think about this, my grandmother's kitchen. Everybody that's the listener, think about your grandmother's kitchen. How many times have you seen one thing change in that kitchen? It's the same kitchen your entire life, right? But now you buy a new house and it's like, oh, you get all of a sudden you're getting emails 5 years in. Time to remodel your whatever, your fridge. My grandma's had the same fridge my entire childhood, and everything is ice cold out of it. Why is it that we have all these new fridges and it has to have Wi-Fi? You know, I'd be really pissed if I bought one of those new fridges with like the TV on the front of it. You know, they're crazy these days. And you're like, hey, you can't get your applesauce or your milk until you pay for the update. Like, I'd be pissed. But
I'd
that's
lose my
kind of the
mind.
vibe. That's where things are these days, right? And it just really, you want to take it back to sort of like, not getting political at all, stay with me, but like the essence that built this country, right? Regardless of whatever it is that you're interested in, the hard work, the care that went into it, because people were working hard. We needed equipment to be just as sturdy, just as reliable as the people who were out there taking care of ourselves. Could be military, could be, think about a cowboy back in the day who's out there in the middle of the desert, and all of a sudden his hold on now, why am I forgetting? What do cowboys, what do you put on a horse to ride a horse? What is it called?
I wanted to say sleigh, and that's not it.
No, it's not a sleigh. You know what I'm
Saddle, a
talking about.
saddle.
There it is. Yeah, a saddle. You ask me any other time, I've been like, you mean a saddle? But yeah, you need like the best leather to really make a good saddle to get out there and work hard, right? And I love
Yeah.
this tangent that I just went on. But before we get into your family, because that's what I want to get into, have you seen that meme about Uber where it's like this guy has it printed on the back of his car and it was like 1997, don't talk to strangers, right? And then it was like 2007, like don't get in a car with strangers or whatever. And then now it's like, why don't you order? Oh, don't meet anybody on the internet, right? It's like, don't get in a car with strangers, don't meet anybody on the internet. And now it's like, order yourself a stranger from the internet to take you wherever you want to go. And
Your house so they know where you live.
yeah, absolutely. It's
Yeah,
funny.
it's a funny world that we live in now. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm not trying to act like I'm above ordering. I have ordered Shein, I've shopped at Target. I get it, I understand, and I think going to and I think the link is just, you can get all of those things and find them good
Balance.
quality for less at a thrift store. And follow
Yeah.
the same trend without having to, order yourself all these clothes from Shein that are going to fall apart,
Yeah, I'm with that. Tell me a little bit about your family. Let's take it back to when you grew up. Born and raised, remind me, did you say California? And then you came over. Where in California?
So I was born in La Mesa, San Diego, California. I lived there my whole life until about middle school, and my grandma had a stroke, and so we moved up to the high desert to be closer, so my dad could help out more. And then we lived in the high desert, so like Apple Valley, Victorville, Hesperia
Oh,
area.
got you. My dad is from Barstow, and my grandparents still live in Barstow to this day. And I'm gonna be honest, I don't like any of those cities. Never have,
They're pretty.
never will.
The high desert is, it's, it can be rough. Beautiful sunsets, I will say that. The most beautiful sunsets you've ever seen. But yeah, it's small town living for sure. And I graduated high school, and I knew when I was out there, I knew I was not gonna stay. I couldn't stay. I needed to go somewhere else, and I didn't want to get stuck out there. And no shade to
Yeah.
anyone that has stayed. I just that wasn't my journey, and I knew
Yeah, you got to do
it.
what makes you happy, right? Tell me, were you an only child or did you have siblings growing
Yeah,
up?
so I do have siblings. I have two half sisters and then two step brothers. So very blended family. Childhood, early childhood was really hard, very, very hard. Lots of abuse and moving around and squatting in houses and, three different elementary schools in third grade. Like, it was hard.
Yeah. Keep going, because this is where I want to, this is kind of what, if you're willing to open up a little bit, this is where a lot of the value comes from. Is there's a little girl right now that maybe is in a similar position or has maybe been through a similar position, right? And she doesn't know that maybe there's an option to leave that small town, right? Or that there's an option to, God forbid, start your own business, right? And then actually do what you like and create your passion into a livelihood. And one of the big things, I'll open up for a second and then I'll kind of let you take it. Personally, that I've had to kind of go through where, like I said, not by no means did my childhood we ever go without anything. My family did an amazing job of not just surviving, right, but really thriving in the traditional form of success, right? However, where I found deficiencies with myself and with my family that I'm trying my best to go back and kind of repair, tweak, see if there's anything that I can do there. Now that I am sort of different and not higher evolved, but we'll say higher evolved, right? If that's what we want to say. It's been this thing where my family didn't know how to value the things that weren't tangible by a dollar. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
To where it was, if it's time, just hanging out, that doesn't happen. That's a waste of time. We could be working, right? We could be doing this. We could be, something has to be done, right? If there's a holiday, it's like, how are we going to make this the biggest holiday? So it kind of combined to make, I think, myself and also a lot of, I'll say, men of color, just because that's where I've really done a lot of research. Your value becomes, what is it that you can provide? What is it that you can do? Instead of actually understanding, like, no, you're valuable just being by yourself. Like, for example, starting this podcast, it's like, well, hold on. I could have been the guy that's like, what are we going to talk about? What are the preconceived, like, this is the value that I'm giving you, versus me saying, like, no, I am the value. I'm curious. I want to hear a little bit about what you got going on. And I hope the other people are curious as well. So it's taken me a long time to get there. But the biggest thing that I see coming from guys that have came from where I've come from is like, hold on, man, you are special. Like, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to make it to the NFL, or I know you see all these jerseys, things like that, but like, you don't have to be Michael Jordan or Shaquille O'Neal or Kobe Bryant, right? That's amazing. And those are all iconic people. And I love the message that they've all done at the individual level, but you just actually doing what makes you happy and not what from the inside, right? And not necessarily what's from the outside. That's important because I don't think it's taught enough. I had to accidentally find it. And I'm happy I found it because my life is so much better operating this way than before, when I used to be like, people are only going to like me for what it is that I do, right? I have to build a successful business because that's the only way I'm ever going to be loved or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think it's very insightful. And like when someone can look back on their situation that might have been hard or challenging or difficult and be able to reflect on it and take something positive from it, grow from it, and even, try to bring a positive light to others. Like that's a beautiful thing. You can Someone said something to me, a few years ago, and it stuck with me. Like when hard things happen and when bad things happen to you have one of two paths you can take. You can take all of it and you can make it your reason for just being a shitty person. This happened to me and, that's why I'm this way, or you can take it and you can, just try to grow. Just try to do better and just understand that you did the best that you could at the time with the tools that you had at the time. That's the best that you can do, and until you can get to a point where you can look back on it and know it wasn't your fault, you didn't deserve the things that happened to you, and just kind of show some kindness to yourself because people don't always show you the kindness that you deserve. And that's just
Yeah.
the reality, you have to be kind to yourself. And that's a really, really hard thing to learn.
Because it's so easy as a kid for me to go like, oh, okay, these people are denying me whatever, this food or this whatever it is that I want. So I just need to make the money and then I'll be fine. I'll be safe from all those things. And then it became a thing where I was torturing myself the same way that everybody else was torturing me or whatever it is that you want to do. And one of my biggest breakthroughs was like, if I'm, let's say we're running a business, we can relate it to what we're talking about here. If I was my own employee, I wouldn't say a third of the nasty things that I'm saying to myself on a daily basis of like, get up, man, stop being such a pussy. Like, you're fine, just push through, you're okay. Like, who cares? You don't need this. You don't need lunch today. You're fine, keep going. Versus now it's like, hold on now. If I treated myself, no, take a lunch. You're all right, right? It's okay if you're a couple minutes late, right? It's things happen. You got to update the software. We don't control that. Things happen. I don't know what the difference from update 15 to 16 was. They look the same to me, but like, it's just taking it easy and kind of finding that rhythm and just doing what makes you happy. And that's the end of the goal, is like really valuing those things that a dollar can't measure, right? That's been my biggest thing is, yeah, you there's a difference between like rich and wealthy, right? Like wealthy maybe does have to do with a dollar, but you can be rich without having any sort of money. You can have a loving family, you can have great dogs, you can have a great family life, right? And I think that's what being rich is. You can travel around, right? You can just kind of do things and connect with people, and none of that stuff costs a dollar. Going to China, yeah, it's expensive, right? You got to save up a little bit for that. But the value that you get out of a trip to China, you can't like measure that with dollars. You can't measure that with money, right? It's an experience, and kind of take it where you want to take it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, the non-monetary value, I think that's what are the words I'm looking for, and experiences. I haven't always had, the most money. I've, struggled. There's always been a struggle, and I think I was able to recognize, especially in this last year, I got myself in therapy, and when you're able to talk through some of those things that you're dealing with and processing alone, it makes it so much easier to look at it from a kind space, and realize, like I said, like you only can do the best you can with what you have. And I think I kind of lost what my track of what I was trying to say, but I
You
think.
got yourself in therapy over the past year, and you've really kind of you're shifting your life. You're actively kind of building right now, right?
So I think I was able to recognize that a very long period of my life, I was living in this state of survival. I was really just trying to exist, get up and get through every day. And it's not because I wasn't grateful. It's because I just, I hadn't found my path just yet. I remember I was working as a store manager, and I was making the most money I'd ever made. I had a great job, I had great benefits, and I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. And I remember telling my partner at the time, like, I want more than this. I don't want to sell somebody else's lotion for the rest of my life. This is not my path. I need to do something more. And I remember him telling me, like, just why don't you want to be a DM? Why don't you want to move up and be a district manager? And you'll make so much money. And I knew it was never about the money. It's not about the money. You can be so, wealthy and just be absolutely miserable because you don't have your purpose yet, And mind you, my purpose has always been to make my son, I have a child, he's 15, and to make him proud and to make him, give him the best. But how can I live authentically and showing him the, be proud of what you're doing, be proud of who you are, if I'm not proud of what I'm doing? That's not living authentically to myself. And that's doing not only myself a disservice, him as well. You're intended to lead by example when you're a parent.
Well, let's pause right there. I would never have guessed that you had a 15-year-old. Do you get that a lot?
I'm 35, but I had my son at 19. I was very young mama, and we have grown up together, really and truly. Like, I don't know what my life would look like if I didn't have my son when I did, and not because I was into drugs or anything crazy. It just, again, like I said, the trauma that I had endured really didn't give my life a purpose yet. And he did. And it, having him, regardless of my age, has really helped guide and structure really the values and the morals and everything that I didn't have, because I think the way I've always looked at it is I try to be the mom that I needed. I'm trying to be the parent that I needed. And the ways that I know that I've fallen short, being able to do better for him is all the purpose that I need,
And that's the big part about kind of the why behind things, right? Anyone can build a business, right? Anyone can do this, but why are you doing it? That's what's different for everybody. And I think when family really motivates you, or the push to lift a family up or push that needle just forward a little bit, it's a special thing, right? Like, it is so important. And one of the big things that I've been on lately is like the difference between your intent versus your impact, right? And a lot of the times, especially in American culture specifically, you can see the intent is there. People, families want, we want you to be, we want to support you, right? We want you to like become an artist, right? However, you can't become an artist because artists don't make any money, right? Or it's not like you're going to be struggling forever. We want you to start that vintage clothing brand, right? However, we're scared for you. So we're really going to just hit on everything that you're doing so that hopefully you go become a the top lotion sales girl in Bath and Body Works history, right? So it's one of those things where it's like intent is one thing, but you also have to follow through to make sure that your intent aligns with the impact that you're making. And that takes a high level of like juju, if you know what I mean, right? Like it's one of those things where I guess I just want to hear a little bit about, like you were touching on it earlier, that false sense of security, right? That maybe people can have who aren't business owners, right? And who are thinking about making that jump, because you're somebody who is different from my story, because I've been fortunate enough to see entrepreneurs my entire life. I just knew right out the gate. I was, I don't know, 13 when I started working full time. I've worked full time since I was 13 years old, like mowing lawns, training dogs, whatever it is that I had to make happen, playing sports to get paid for this and that. Like, I've been working for a shit ton of my life. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where that false sense of security, like, no, you can stay here at this company and you'll be fine. Like, they'll take care of you. When the reality of the situation is like, they could touch you tomorrow and your ass is on the street. And what do you have? Where's the guarantee? Guarantee me that Bath and Body Works or another company, just because I don't want them to scream at me. I don't want any beef with Bath and Body Works. I love the teak wood. I love, what else do I love? The bourbon, you know, the no, I think it's Noir, right? Noir, whatever. Those are my scents. I
You
love
know all
those.
the hits. You got it down.
Exactly. So no shade against them, right?
No,
But
of
just the
course.
idea of you thinking that someone else, A, is going to take care of you better than you can take care of yourself, and B, someone else is going to care about your situation more than you're supposed to care about your situation. Unlikely, right? Unlikely. Not saying it's impossible, but it's unlikely. So tell me about that jump that you made from employee to employer, and what went into that. Because you also had a baby at the time, or you know, how long have you guys been, you know, running your guys's brand?
So my business really has only it was created essentially a few years ago. However, the idea was created a few years ago. And at the time, I've been going through a lot of health issues for over 10 years. But the last 5 have been really very, very hard. Trying to get to the bottom of these diagnoses, and especially with stuff of the brain, it's very difficult. Seizures look like a lot of different things. And so my health has really been in the shits the last, 5 years. And so, I had this idea and I really wanted something to be mine. I was struggling to, find a job that worked with my need for, having to go to these doctor's appointments and everything else. And so the idea was there, the brand was there, but it just, my mind and my body weren't allowing me to go all in the way that I needed and wanted to. And this last year that I've spent in therapy and healing and really just focusing on the things I needed to do to make myself right, do the time to get where I needed to be mentally first, really allowed for me to realize that I can do this. It allowed me to have a self-belief for the first time that I didn't have. The trauma and the things that I had gone through, all of the abuse, and it makes you feel small. It makes you feel like you're not capable and you can't do big things. And healing and therapy really allowed me to know that I can. And so this year was the year that, I just went all in, and it felt like this fog had been lifted, for the first time. And the self-belief that I finally gained allowed me to do what I've always been capable of doing. It was always there, and to touch back on, when we're in high school, that's really when we're expected to start establishing like who we are. They tell us we're supposed to get out, and you go in the military, or you go to college, or whatever. And at the time, first of all, what I wanted to do was I wanted to create my own fashion brand. And that idea had, sorry, parents, but it kind of had been shit on. Like, it wasn't a real idea. That's not, it's not, you're not going to make money starting a fashion brand. You can't go to fashion school. Like, what are you going to do with that? That's an artist's job. That's not real reality. And, I was told to go into the military and things like that. And it's like, that's not my path. That doesn't make sense. Like, what, And so, moving away and having a baby and just having to start life, and just start doing life and start playing the game of life and working. And, you just got to get up and go. And it feels really good to look at 10 years ago, the things that I was thinking were just a fever dream, things that were not a life that I could really live, they've become true for me,
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
every job that I've had, every role that I've played, everything that I've learned has really and truly, those things all have given me the tools that I need now to help me be successful. And I'm so grateful for every single one of them. And as corny as it is to say, like, it'll all make sense. It'll all fall into place, like, when it does, and you'll understand these hardships later on. Like, truly, like that is reality, And yeah, it feels really good to look back on things that I never thought were going to be reality for me, and today that they are, and I'm really proud.
And I think that's amazing because that's the best reason why I think we have memories. Like the reason why I believe, think about it, like when we go through hard times, I think that we need to use those sort of like past experiences as kind of reference points to be like, no, I got through that thing that I thought was impossible, right? So this is just another play. Like you got to make another play, basically. Let's go ahead and just redo kind of what we did again. Obviously, it might not be the same thing. Results may vary, right? Don't take mentors' advice. Results may vary, but hey, there is something in that. Like that's why humans are so special. Like I love my dogs to death, but he doesn't remember what happened 6 months ago on a Tuesday, whatever, whatever. Like, as long as we got Frisbee's food and a good time and a party, like he's ready to go, right? But we're meant for so much more than just that consistent cycle that you were talking about. We're really meant to go out there and push boundaries, I think. And I obviously there's a scale. There's humans like me who are like, yeah, just throw them out in the middle of the ocean. Like, venture will be all right. Just give them like a raft and maybe a granola bar, and you'll just see me building and fucking riding dolphins and like having a good time. And then there are people that maybe just want to, and I say just want to, I don't know, open up like a small little candle shop boutique, right? And that's amazing. Like whatever, wherever you fall on that spectrum, as long as you're happy and you're really pushing the boundary of whatever it is that you thought you could achieve, what more could you ask for, right? So special.
I think sometimes it's hard. Am I trying to say? It's hard when you feel like, you're meant to stay small. And sometimes people make you feel small, and they make you feel like you can't speak up, and they make you feel like you can't have your opinions and your ideas might be too big, you know, too big for your britches, and they're just not real life. And I think any amount of self, you know, investing in yourself and belief in yourself can, and surrounding yourself with people that also challenge your beliefs and help support you, you know. I think those are the things that'll help get there, you know, help get you there.
I want to kind of touch on two things right now because I think you and I might be on opposite ends of a similar song. Where, stick with me for a second. When I think back on, like, I don't know, my life, right? Got the shit kicked out of me. Man, just we're talking about physically, emotionally, right? Just like down bad, just been beaten up, and you go up the hill, get kicked back down the hill, go up the hill, get kicked back down the hill. The point I'm trying to make is I've been beat, but not broken. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that right there is why I bank on myself. I think that's what it is, where I understand. Trust me, I'll take myself. I've already put myself in more pain than anybody else on this planet is going to. All right. Like, I already know what that's like. I'm an expert in that. All right. If you want to talk about shitting on somebody, that's what I do. Just shit on venture all day. That's what I used to do. I've done that for 20 years. Where I am the opposite of you is I didn't think that I could be small. So it's a balance. I think everything's a balance, right? Maybe you were over here, you thought that you couldn't be big, right? I thought that I had to be big. I had to be this thing, this force, this, I guess, character, whatever it is. Like, there's just, now there is a certain charisma that I have just naturally that kind of God gave me, right? But when you see me walk into a room, it's a different energy. Like, you notice when Venture walks in because it's just this thing. It's like fireworks going and going and going. And then once I realized, I was like, oh, I feel like there's a pressure to do fireworks every single time I walk in. And guess what? There's sometimes where I'm gonna walk in the room and I just wanna like sit down and just like relax and be quiet. And that wasn't an option for me, right? I didn't believe. I thought that the only value that I provide is when Venture comes in and everybody goes, oh, it's a good time. Heck yeah, like this is it. Versus me being like, no, sometimes I feel that way, but also sometimes I don't have to do that. Like, I can just be the guy that's in the corner and just like hang out. I don't have to be like the critical thinker for everything and plan out yada yada yada, lead everything. That's where I think support kind of comes in, right? And that's where I'm throwing in what you were touching on of the people around you, something that I fucked up with over the course of just the majority of my life is not really understanding support and not really ever being supported. Just because my definition of support a year ago, 6 months ago, was, oh, okay, oh, I got this email. Apparently, Catch My Thrift needs my support. All right, I'm gonna walk in and do everything. I'm just gonna steamroll and we're gonna do this. You need to do this way, blah, blah, blah. And blah. You'll see results, probably, most likely dollars, whatever it is that we can track. However, you're not going to feel like you actually did it, right? You're not going to feel like I was here. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
My bad. My little thing cut out. I think it's the wire. I want the people around me who I support to feel like they can ask for help. But when they do ask for help, Venture's not just going to like take over the ship and just like all of a sudden it becomes a completely different project than what it was. And I think that's a common thing, maybe for men. I think that's, maybe men of color, just American men in general, too, to realize that, like, you can actually just sit there and just support her, your partner, let's say, or whoever it is that you're in, right? Where when they ask, yeah, do your best, right? But until they ask, just support, right? So, how are you supported? Yeah, I'll go ahead and take it. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you. I got so excited because you said so many things that were I think very much the same, but like you said, a little different. I think I was afraid to create waves. I was trying to be so, I don't want to say likable, but that might be the right word. Like trying to appease everyone so much so that I lost my own voice. And I have still to teach myself and understand that it's okay that my opinions are differing than others. And it's okay for me to have my own opinion, and maybe it's different, and maybe it's not necessarily likable. But I do have a voice, and I do deserve to take up space. And I think sometimes when you get beaten down, you feel like you're not allowed to take up space, and you just have to kind of exist and go through the motions, and you don't, you don't, and you are allowed to take up space, and you do deserve to have an opinion. And I think when you there's probably a lot of people that can relate to feeling like they don't get to they don't get to speak their mind and maybe do the things that they want to accomplish, because it does take a little bit of ruffling feathers, maybe, and not necessarily having everyone like what you're doing or support what you're doing. And that's okay too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's one of those things where creating waves, that's such a big thing to say, because it's just like it's gonna happen. When you actually sometimes when you're doing what you love and you're actually sort of going after your calling or whatever your passion is, that's gonna affect your confidence, and your action is going to trigger somebody's insecurities sometimes, right? And you can't control that. You can't like fix how somebody else feels, but that's also not your job to do too. It's like you have to just do what makes you happy. And guess what? If you're also trying to make everybody happy, boy, I don't know who's been able to accomplish that on this planet so far in the billion or so years or whatever that's happened. Who's been able to make everybody happy? Nobody, right? So why is that expectation? Why is that even a thing? That's crazy that a lot of people feel that way at some point. Everybody feels that way at some point in their life, but nobody, it's impossible to do, right? So it's so crazy. What I want to hear a little bit more about as we kind of that we've got real deep, let's kind of pull it back for a second.
Sorry.
Tell me, right? No, it's perfect. It's all about the vibe, right? Tell me about the name of your brand. How did you come up with the name? What inspired that?
So I have always really loved and appreciated a 70s aesthetic. I swear that maybe once upon a time I've lived a life in the 70s. It's just something I've just always loved it. And catch my drift is, do you catch my drift? It's just a saying, it just kind of came about. It's kind of, it was just catchy, and it just happened. That was really just it. And I guess that it just kind of aligns with the aesthetic of the brand, and all of that. That was really it. There's no special story. It just was
I like
clever, and
that
I
though.
liked it.
I like it. I didn't think that that was going to be so quick for you, because you seem like a little bit of an overthinker sometimes, right?
I totally am.
Where you had been like, so it took me 2 years to come up with the name. And I'm like, whoa. But yeah, it's awesome, because I'm a guy like that where I don't believe that the names are super like important in the end result. I think that people or businesses grow into the names. Does that make sense? So it's like we could literally come up with the most random, here, I'm going to think of something, a color and something I see at the house. Red chair. And like, I bet you, whatever we, ooh, what's red chair? Well, let me tell you about red chair. It's actually the number one thrift store company in this side of the United States. Why red chair? Well, you know how when you're going through your grandma's closet and it's the story, whatever it is that happens. When I used to go to get my grandma's hats, I used to have to pull the red chair up because I was too short. And like, I went and grabbed it. But like, that's how those things happen, right? And don't make it up, obviously. Make it true to you and stay authentic. But you can find your version of whatever that red chair is, or catch my thrift, right? Or natural thoughts and talks, right? Sometimes it really is just sitting right there on your lap. You just have to slap it on. And when I first started, I was like, I don't know, is that too long? Natural thoughts and talks, that's weird, this and that. And I wouldn't want to pick any other name now that we're 270 episodes in. You know what I mean?
It just it made sense, and it stuck, and I'm really proud of it. And a lot of it catches a lot of people's attention, and they typically say like, oh, it's clever, it's cute, or whatever, and yeah, that's it.
The vibe, I like it. want to hear a little bit about being a mom running a business. That's something to where we're at this kind of apex or this merger, if you want to call it, within old traditions, or right? Like my mom, I fortunately, I'm a product where my mom was the breadwinner of my household growing up, and I got to watch her build her business from, nothing to what it is today, and so proud of her for that. But I also did kind of get to see and notice the bullshit that she had to go through, right? At a point in her career of appeasing men or this and that, or why are you qualified to do this, when it's something where I fortunately don't ever have to deal with something like that, because I'm a 6 foot tall, 200 pound large man that, like, whenever I walk in, people listen. I don't know what it is in people's DNA, but like, I'm gonna listen to that guy. I can't even tell you how much I'm not qualified to do that people will ask me to do. Like, there could be something going on a plane. Oh my gosh, can we there was a guy that was he was having a seizure. I remember on a flight one time, on the other side of the aisle, and he ended up on the ground, right? Like, he's having an entire episode, and they were like, can a doctor stand up, right? There was a doctor next to me. It was this pretty young girl, but I stood up to let her out of the aisle because I had no training in this. And of course, the lady's like, okay, so you're the doctor. And I'm like, that's not me at all. Can I go to the back of the plane, please? Like, that's not me. And then obviously the lady got in there and made it happen. But yeah, women are running the world right now. They always have been, but now it is a shift that is, the pot is full and it is slowly tipping over. Give it another 10 to 15 years, and it's just going to be, those giant buckets at the water park for the kids that just, like, crash down on them. What are sort of the best things about it, and what are some of the hard things about it? Because there's probably a wealth of both, right?
I think one of the big things that I'm grateful for is I build my own schedule. And once upon a time, when I was working at, Bath and Body or whatever, my son, I required needing help, for babysitting and things like that, and relied heavily on his grandma to watch him for me because I was working full time, and I didn't always get to participate in all the things I wanted to. I didn't always get to be there. And I don't punish myself for that. I just it is it needed to be the way that it was at the time. So the what I feel like I have the gift of right now is if my son has a show, I'm there. If he is playing, at a football game, I'm there. And I can put my work aside when I need to be there for him. And I'm so grateful for that. The other thing is he's 15 going on 16. So he's at an age where he's, becoming a young man. And he now is wanting to establish his own brand and, his own clothing brand. And, he's out there helping me sometimes at these markets, setting up, and he's getting the work experience. And, we have a great time and we bond. And, I think getting to show him that he can accomplish his dreams and he can do anything that he wants to and to set his mind to. And, it is hard work, but it's worth it. And I think he's getting to see that. And I'm so proud and grateful for that, for him getting that experience. For the negative, I work a lot, and he does give me a hard time because he sees that, sometimes I will go and I won't eat. And he's like, mom, you need to take care of yourself and things like that. Like, I do get very, I'm constantly working. I love what I'm doing so much that sometimes I can be doing it all the time. And I'm struggling to find a balance where it's like, okay, you also need to do more than just work and clean your house and work and clean your house. Like, you also have to live the life that you're working so hard to create, like the life that you worked so hard to have, the happiness, you still need to make that a priority and taking care of myself. So that's what I would say the struggle is, like, he's old enough to call me on it. He can see when I'm not taking care of myself, and I don't want him to see that, So I would say that's probably the downside is, he's old enough to see the negative and call me on it. And I want to make sure that I do right by him and myself. It's, of course.
What are some of the biggest things that he's taught you recently? Because me, as you know, being grown for, you know, so long and out of the house and stuff, my mom is able to kind of reflect and say, like, oh yeah, these are some of the things that I just kind of had wrong. Not necessarily wrong, just wasn't aligned with who you were. So when I started, I'm somebody who you don't need to tell what to do at all. Like if you just kind of send, like I said, you just send me out in the middle of the ocean and I'll bring back some fish. Like, and if you're like, hey, where's Venture at? Well, we haven't caught any fish yet. We'll be back. Trust me, I've never not came back, but like a curfew or something like that, you don't really impose that structure on me because I will just try to break out of whatever establishment. But that's my shit, right? Like that's, don't tell me what to do unless like you're really, really like a good leader at what it is. And my mom just being like, yeah, we knew that you were going to have yourself taken care of at like 5 years old, just because like you were a warrior. You've always been that way. So what are some of the things that you see in your son where you learn? Because obviously you're the mom, you've taught so much, right? You've helped develop this little human, but I like that backside of things, right? Like what has he taught you recently over the last year or 6 months or something that you've kind of had to take away and been like, oh, I didn't know that that outlined, that's a life lesson right there, or something like that. Is there anything that comes to mind?
I think I'm always pretty quick to see, I think sometimes that I have, I have a teenager, and sometimes I'm quick to be like, jump the gun on getting, maybe it's upset or thinking that he, he's up to something, or he didn't complete this or whatever it is, and then I'm wrong. And then I don't ever want to be that person that's not, I can't put my pride down to apologize, because he's old enough to, that type of behavior is going to sit with him now. And I don't want him to not have, be able to put his pride down and apologize when he's wrong. And so it's important to me to lead by example. And there, there was one time, this had just happened like a couple days ago. The bus came, or it actually was late and it didn't come on time. And, he's like, oh, the bus wasn't there, and da, 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 whatever. And they actually ended up showing up late. And then I got an email from the district saying, oh, the bus was 25 minutes late. And so he wasn't lying about it, and I had to be like, all right, I'm sorry, you were right. You were telling the truth. My bad, I think that's a big one. It's easy to lose your temper and then you get mad about something, and just needing to realize, like, put your pride down when you're wrong and apologize when you're wrong. That's a big one.
That's a cool one, and I think that's the right way to do it because. Or the best way to do it. There's plenty of right ways to do anything, right? But that really shows that, like, puts them in a mindset to be like, no, my voice does matter. Like, my actions do matter. And I'm not in this, like, lower status than anybody else, right? Because if you're, like, the main adult in his life, right? And then who knows, somebody else on the street could say something. And then immediately he's like, oh, well, maybe I am wrong because I've been wrong all these other times, instead of being like, hold on, I need to advocate for myself a little bit. I had to find that the hard way, I remember, and it was lifting weights in the weight room. Once I was 15 going into 16, that's when the puberty did its thing and just really just got became a big boy, right? And within the same year, the coaches who I played a lot of sports growing up, right? And sometimes he was in Texas, sometimes he was in California, sometimes he was here in Vegas. I remember it would be like either some, the guy I screamed at, I remember. Yeah, it was a skinny, just a skinny, puny little white guy who was just telling me, like, I'm doing the play wrong. And then it's one thing to tell me I'm doing something wrong. I'm totally fine. I'm very coachable. Okay, let's do it the right way. But you don't need to put all this extra sauce on it. Like, you don't need to really just like
Take it
cuss
down
me
a notch,
out.
friend.
Make an example. You don't have to make the whole team get punished just because Venture made a mistake, which rarely happens. I'm passionate about being good at my craft. And I remember it came to a point where I quit the team that day. I ended up coming back, and the guy did apologize, but he put a little too much on it. And I remember taken my helmet off, and I went right up to him, and I looked him down in his eyes because I was finally taller than him. I had a good little, growth spurt, and I was like, okay, if you speak to me like that again, we're really gonna have a problem. Like, I didn't even have to say anything, but like, we're really gonna have a problem. As in, like, I'm gonna take these shoulder pads up and shove them up your ass, right? And you could, I remember seeing in his eyes, he was like, I don't want that problem. That this is kind of a big kid now, and he's getting bigger and he's doing things. And I just walked off the field and left for the day. And then a couple of days went by. But at the end of the season, that guy who was hardest on me, he's still an asshole and I don't fuck with him. But anyways, this is what he did give me. It was like, at least we knew what you were doing. Like, everything you said, you did. Like, if you said you didn't want to do something, it wasn't happening. But if you really said you were all in and you wanted to do something, we stood behind you. Like, you were a great leader, and you called it like you saw it. And that's something that I try to take with me every single day, right? Maybe it doesn't have to be so aggressive, and I know to just really relax now, but my voice does matter. And it took me to have to be like, no one's going to dominate me ever again to like find that, but it's important, right? So just having someone like a parent say like, hey, I was wrong and I don't know everything. That's a big thing too, to be like, hey, I don't know everything, but what I do know, I'm just going to try my best at, right? We went through a lot. We covered a lot of stuff. And could you imagine if I had so you tell me right now, when you sent me a text earlier that was like, what are we going to talk about? What the hell could I have possibly have written that would have been able to explain what it is that we're doing, right? That's what, like, tell me, what would you have said? You just would have been like, ... send, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I had a feeling, because I had a feeling we were probably going to touch on some, heavier topics. I just kind of got that vibe. Like, it was more than just about my brand. It was a little bit more about the story that got me there. And so I didn't know what to expect, and then that's in a good way. And I think my own nerves of, because my story is a little, it can get a little dark at certain parts of it, and so I, just nervous. That's all. Nervous
Good
to share.
nervous though.
I've never been given a platform or the ability to talk about some of these topics, and
Yeah.
so they did help. They have helped create who I am, and my brand, and where I've come from has helped where I'm at now. And so I do appreciate you allowing me to share some of those things.
Oh man, you do all the work. I just show up and hit record. That's all I do, all right? But I appreciate you saying those kind words. I want to end on, a couple like lighter, more fun things, because I feel like we worked the old brain muscle. I want to hear a little bit about just like your opinion with fashion or like with clothing. It is important. Energy, like, I'm a big energy guy, right? You can tell the past hour that we've been going through things. Clothes are important because even like those vintage pieces that you're curating, those series or sets that you're putting together, there is energy and power in, for example, like, I have had a few of articles of clothing from like relatives that have passed away, right? And when you put those on, it's different from, think about like some of the jewelry that maybe your grandma left you or things like that. You embody something that seems a little bit like on a higher power than whatever it is that you have. Does that make sense? Like, that's the reason behind why you want to continue. Go ahead and take it. You have a better way of putting it, but that's what I wanted to touch on.
Yeah, so I do. I think that because these pieces, some of them, I have pieces of from 1970, authentic night pieces from 1970. They have so much history. They have so much life in them. And to me, passing that on to someone, I do, I've I don't, depends on, what you're into or what you believe, but I definitely cleanse my pieces with crystals, and I carry things with me to protect my energy, because that's important to me. And I think that the history behind, who was wearing this, I like to imagine, some of these things that I have, the store, the things that she saw, the things that she did, how cool is that, that now I own something that has seen so much life before me. And I think that that's a really important component of it too. You'll never get that from Shein.
Yeah. That's funny. What kind of music do you really get into? What are some of your top, I guess, let's do a list. Your top five artists in no particular order, but just throw them out there. Who would you listen to if we just handed you the speaker? Who are kind of on your top five of all time?
All time. Wow, that's a big
Yeah.
question.
Just hold on, just for today. There's no pressure. Mine changes every day. So, like, who are you
Sure.
throwing in your kind of today list?
I really love the classics. I'm a big lover of the classics. And so when I thrift, I typically like to listen to the classics. I love, Steve Miller Band. I love Stevie Nicks. Incubus is my favorite band of all time, and I can listen to them. It's very vibey and trancey and just, I'll always appreciate some Creed that's always playing at the thrift store. I'm really not, music is really important to me, and kind of like you, I kind of switch it up all the time. I literally, there's two types of people. There's people that create playlists, and then there's people that listen to their liked songs. I'm one of the liked songs people.
Me
One
too.
minute it'll be Sabrina Carpenter, and then the next you're gonna have, Limp Bizkit. It really is all over the place. And one thing I'm doing that's actually new, I'm really excited about, is I created a playlist, a thrifting playlist. And you just scan the card and it takes you directly to my playlist. And I'm going to start doing them every month now. So it's just things to listen to while you're out there. If you don't want to
Yeah.
listen to what's on the stereo at the thrift store, sometimes it's pretty rough.
Tell me a little bit, and we'll get into that about your process for thrifting. Are we good on time, by the way? Do you have to get out of here?
No, I'm good. I don't have anything. I was gonna go out and thrift some more later today. Mondays are a good day for the deals, but no time limit on that.
Okay, give me a couple more minutes here, and then we'll get you out of here. But explain to me like your process or how do you go about thrifting? Is it the same every time? Is it different? Like what or do you have a routine? I guess what does your thrift routine look like?
So I know that this is gonna sound weird, but when I go in, sometimes I just get a feeling of where I should check first. I'm at the thrift store so often that sometimes I might start in purses one day and then go straight to the leather jackets and then go straight to sleepwear. And I'm kind of all over the place. But what I do the same in every single section is I'm always like, I will push the entire rack and then one piece at a time. Every single one I'm checking. I'm feeling for fabric and quality and materials. So I'm feel, I'm looking for to see what it's made out of. I check the tags. So I'm looking for the vintage tags, looking for the made in USA, checking for materials. Labels don't really mean as much to me. I do curate like higher end designer and like elevated labels, but that's not the most important thing to me. Some people really, that's their bag, that's their focus, is they're looking for those designer labels. That's not necessarily the most important thing to me. I would say quality, 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 quality.
Quality. It sounds to me like you really like the process too. That's the
Oh yeah.
biggest of the process of just, it seems like the ultimate form of shopping. Like things aren't organized. You don't know what you're gonna get. That's the opposite of how my brain works. I know exactly what I want before I even go. I was looking for white sneakers. Let's go in here. Where are the white sneakers at? Okay, boom. Very rarely do I go like, let's just see what I'm gonna find. But I understand that's some people enjoy that, right? And it's important and I love that for you. It's really cool that you're doing that and you're just kind of building this brand around that. And yeah, I appreciate you for doing that.
Yeah. I really just like to make thrifting easy for people. I really just like to share that you can get all of the same trends that you're seeing in the stores. You can find all of that secondhand and made out of better quality materials.
And
And
that's, oh, go ahead, go ahead, go
oh
ahead.
no, that's it. That was kind of the end of my thought, really.
The cool part about, oh, you're just gonna make something up, huh? And The cool part about what I think fashion is today in 2024 is not necessarily that anything new is happening. You just get to pick what era do you want to be a part of, right? Like a lot of my work clothes, I'm looking for like a 60s or 70s retro kind of vibe with, the slacks and, a fitted kind of polo shirt, let's say, and just, you know what I mean? Something that's not the same like dress shirt and slacks, you know what I mean? Something that's like, all right, cool. Like, look at this guy. He's got it going on. It's a little more comfortable, a little muscle fit, right? But it could be you see the girls, they're like, I want to be 90s goth, right? Or I want to be 2000s kind of hip hop. And like, it's really cool that everybody just kind of gets to pick what they're feeling that day and just go off of that, right? Am I right in that?
100%. And one thing that I use all the time with curating my collections, building style boxes. I do, styling for people and personal shopping. I utilize Pinterest. And Pinterest, if you're not familiar, is just that, that visual tool. And I create these boards for people. So, whatever look that you're looking for, like you said, I want 90s goth. You can type that into Pinterest and you're going to find 1,000 outfits of that. And so that really helps, when someone's trying to describe what it is that they're looking for, it's very easy for me to curate looks based on, a visual example that's already been given to me. And I can find them in the thrift store with good quality materials. Once you know what you're looking for, it's so much easier to sift through all the crap.
Yeah, that's a life lesson right there. Once you know what you're looking for, it's easier to sift through all the crap. There's a lot of filler out there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, lots of fluff. We want to move through all the
Right.
fluff.
We're now kind of towards the end of the conversation here, where this is my favorite part because I get to ask my two favorite questions that we can leave the listeners with. And the first thing you don't have to have an answer to. I just like to see if it opens anything up and, takes this anywhere. But that is there anything that you wanted to highlight or talk about that I wasn't able to ask you over the course of this conversation? Could be business related, could be non-business related, that just you wanted to kind of, leave us with.
Oh, wow, that's a big question. I think probably the biggest thing that I would like to leave the listener with is, no matter what hardships I think that you face in your life, whatever it may be, I think it's just important to know that no matter how other people make you feel, you are worthy. And your dreams are important and your passions are important. And if you feel like you're not where you are meant to be, you'll get there. And just know that self-love will get you really far. And
Oh, that's
that's
nice.
probably the most important thing.
I'm gonna write that down. Self-love. That's an important term that we all need to kind of, we could all use some help with, right? Or just dabbling in. Everybody needs to tune up every now and then, right? On self-love.
Easy to forget. It's easy to forget. We spend so much time loving other people and trying to get other people to love us that we forget how important it is to love ourselves.
Definitely. The last question is my favorite question, and it helps us grow the show. It really helps us continue to search through every one of those cracks, just like you're thrifting, and just pass through the fluff and really get to find good people who would be great guests for the show, who are really passionate about what it is that they do and just have a good spirit, right? So this is your time to really kind of shout out anybody who you find a part of your community or your crew that could be a fellow business owner, it could be another female entrepreneur, another fantastic mom, right? Are there maybe two to three people that come to your mind that you'd want to shout out right now and see me try to reach out to and see if they'd be interested in sharing similar to how you have? Does anyone come to mind?
I will say, she's an aspiring artist, but she's someone I met most recently and through this venture. She was a customer of mine who's now become a very dear friend, but she is probably sunshine in a bottle. I've never met a person who is so insightful and so inspiring with their words and the way that they make other people feel and their warmth. My other dear friend, her name is Carly. She's has a business called Gnarly Charms. I'm actually wearing her necklace right now.
That's nice.
Yeah, but she's another small business owner. She has a custom charm necklace company that she does custom necklaces for. But she's someone I also look up to. We kind of established our brands around the same time, and yeah, her story is also very. You know, she's been through some stuff, but she works really hard, and I'm very inspired by her.
Yeah, that one sounds fun. I've never really even. I'm sure I have, but like a charm necklace. I always remember the charm bracelets or anklets, right?
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
And then the other person that comes to mind is my other dear friend Anna. She's involved in local politics, and we were best friends in our 20s, and she's very involved in like local government and things like that, like in Hispanic government and things like that. She's just a little badass, honestly. She works so hard. She's a mom, and she does some really cool stuff for the community.
Oh, I love that. That sounds like a really good list you put together. I can't wait to reach out and hopefully talk to them sometime in the future. All right. Well,
Yeah,
we've
cool.
adored you. Thank you so much for coming on. I will hopefully have you back sooner rather than later because we just scratched the surface today, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you started out maybe what a little confused on how this was gonna go, right? But hopefully it
Yeah.
worked out for you in the end, right?
It was awesome. I really, like I said, I really do appreciate the space that you've given me to share. And talk about some of those hard things that yeah, I don't know, I guess that you think that people might not want to hear, you know? And it's nice to know that someone does, and maybe other people could relate to it.
Yeah, that's the best thing right there too, is whenever you, I'm sure a big part of your healing process, right, which is ongoing like everybody else's, but when you understand that you're not alone, that's that big part of support, right? It might not even be somebody actively that you know or this and that, but just seeing like representation does matter, right? And it doesn't have to do with skin color or gender or whatever, you know, area it is, just knowing that maybe somebody, just knowing it's possible, right? Knowing that, holy shit, someone's been to the moon. This idea of me becoming an astronaut isn't so crazy then, right? But dude, if you're the first astronaut, that's a pretty tall order, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was really cool, and you know, of course, I think of a million things to share now, but it's really cool that I had the opportunity to share what I did. So thank you
Oh,
very
don't
much.
worry. You keep those things locked away. We're doing a part two real soon, all right? This has
Cool,
been
cool.
Natural Thoughts and Talks. Thank you guys for listening. We will catch you on the next one. Bye.